56 degrees.
Blog Talk Radio.
South at 5 to 10 miles per hour for tonight. Low temperatures dropping down to about 47. But for Thursday, Friday, and running up into the weekend, showers in the morning, turning to partly sunny skies by the afternoon, and high temperatures hovering in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our good news segment. Now, all of us are getting ready to get our engines fired up, get out there, do the traveling we've always wanted to do. But what is it that you should know? Let's fast forward to where we are today. Sophie Shulman joining me here today, Deputy Administrator, National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator. And today what we're going to be talking about is spring forward for safety. And this is the thing that we don't stop and think about. How safe is your vehicle? Do you know what's going on with it? What should you be checking before you get in there and make these gigantic plans to head out into the sunset? It's so great to have you here, Sophie. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk about vehicle safety. I don't think we can say enough about making sure that we are prepared, that we're planning, that we understand that there are some things we can do. In the world we're living in today, our vehicles have gotten a lot more complicated, right? And yet most of us are still reading the repair book to even start the engine. So help us understand the importance of safety here from where you sit.
Absolutely. Well, vehicle safety is a huge part of road safety. I'm here to talk about open recalls on your vehicle, and this can be anything from your seatbelt, your airbag, your child's car seat. So these are incredibly important safety tools that will make sure that you, your passengers, and other people on the roads are safe.
And, you know, this is an interesting conversation because the bottom line is we think that unless we see flashing red lights, that everything is okay. And what I mean by that, Sophie, is we think that somebody is going to pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, your car's got to come in. But that's not the way it works. We really have to become more responsible, don't we?
Absolutely. You need to check and make sure if you've got any open recalls on your vehicle. And it's really easy to do that. You can go to our website. It's NHTSA.gov/recalls, NHTSA.gov/recalls. You can put in your license plate number or your vehicle identification number, and it'll let you know if you have any open recalls on your vehicle.
All right. So tell us about Vehicle Safety Recalls Week. You know, I know you're doing these conversations, you're having these shows, but you really are very focused on the points you're trying to make here, aren't you?
Absolutely. These can be potentially deadly safety defects. They can be incredibly dangerous. And so that's why it's so important to all of us to check and make sure if we've got open recalls on our vehicle. You mentioned Vehicle Safety Recalls Week. We do it right around daylight savings time because it's a time when people are thinking about home maintenance, spring cleaning, and we really want folks to remember to also check and see if there are open recalls on their vehicle.
So what have you all seen is the best way to stay on top of this? Because I think we're all kind of alike. We don't think there's anything wrong with our cars, and I think we're kind of a little old school in that we think, oh, somebody's going to pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, your car is being recalled. But that's not the world we're looking. How much responsibility do you think we need to take on this? And what tools are out there to help?
Yeah, well, we've got lots of tools, luckily. So first of all, I mentioned our website, NHTSA.gov/recalls. It's really easy to look it up there. We also have an app. It's Safer Car App. You can download that, register your car on there, and it'll let you know if there are new recalls. It'll send you a push notification on your phone if there's an open recall on your vehicle. You can also put your car seat or other equipment into that as well. You should also, if there is a new recall, get a letter in the mail from your manufacturer that will have information about how to get that free repair. They'll have instructions how to schedule an appointment, when parts will be available, and, you know, more things to follow up on there.
What do you think are some of the greatest misconceptions about this? I know for me, we often think, oh, recalls are only for new cars, right, that come out, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So you may have heard about the Takata airbag recall. It's one of the largest in history. It involved about 67 million defective airbags. These are very dangerous. About 27 people died in the U.S. because of these defective airbags. And there are still 8 million of these that have not been remedied in the U.S. And there's about 100,000 in the state of Washington and 50,000 in the Seattle area that have not been repaired. So this is actually a really important thing that's been out there for quite a while, and folks haven't gotten all of those addressed yet. So again, it's free to get it repaired, and it is potentially deadly. So it's really important to think about that.
Now, tell us about the Safer Car app. Tell us a little bit about that. I like that, you know, we're talking about something that people can get, they can download. It's very easy to really be able to, you know, say, look, I can keep track of this on an ongoing basis. Just because I checked today doesn't mean that tomorrow there won't be something new, right? Does this app take care of all the updates for us?
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier because you don't have to think about it at a regular schedule. It'll push, you know, a notification out to you that there's a new recall. Again, it's your vehicle, but also your equipment, like your car seat. I'm a relatively new parent, and so I know how important it is to have a safe car seat for your child. It's a really great tool. But again, if you don't want to download the app, you can always visit our website and look these things up as well.
What are you finding? Can we talk for a little bit about, you know, the trends? Are you finding that people are more aware of this now, or do we have to really do a better job to say, look, there are tools available and this is a serious thing? So a lot of times we don't take this seriously enough. I'm one of those people that didn't do that way back and had a fuel injected engine that I didn't know was recalled. And I'm telling you, that thing went through a toll booth. That thing was flaming like nobody's business.
Wow.
And that's just one example of where we were and how hard it was. Now, there's really no excuse for not being on top of that, right?
Yeah, well, we had about 1,000 recalls last year that affected nearly 40 million vehicles and pieces
wow.
of equipment. So it is, you know, there are a number of recalls out there, and it is something that we all have to be aware of. We all have to share the message that folks should check and see if there's an open recall. And as you noted, these can be incredibly dangerous safety defects. And so it's so important to check on a regular basis mm-hmm. to make sure there's not a new recall that's come out.
Yeah. And then also, we can also look this up by VIN number, correct? Is that also another way to do it? Can you just...
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep,
is
so your vehicle
your
identification... Yeah, so on our website, you can use either your license plate number or your vehicle identification number, which you can find inside your vehicle or usually on your insurance card as well.
I want to ask you this question. I'm not sure if you know the answer, but I know cars are getting more and more complicated, right? We know they are. We're you know, once upon a time, what? You put the key in the engine, you turn the engine on, and the car starts. Now you put the key. Now there's no key. You don't put the key in the engine anymore. You hit some button, and off you go. You know, is this now the new world of making sure that there are more features we have on cars, which we all love, right? But there are more possibilities for things to go wrong. I mean, is that something we're looking at, or are we getting better at quality control?
One thing we are seeing is a lot more over-the-air software safety recalls, which are, you know, it can be a software update like it is on your phone, but it actually repairs something that is a safety defect in your vehicle. And this is extremely convenient for consumers, but it is really important to understand that it is a safety defect. You need to make sure that you have the right software version installed. You know, we like to say, if you update the software on your phone and your phone doesn't work, that's okay. But if your car doesn't work, that can actually be really dangerous for you or your passengers or someone else on the road. So please make sure you've got that right information. And if the the update isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, we want to hear about it and make sure that we're addressing that as well.
Are there any recalls out there that you can mention that people should be aware of? I mean, we've talked about, you know, the airbags. I mean, that's crazy. But what are you seeing from where you sit, or what are some of the recalls that you're seeing that you can spotlight for us?
Yeah, I would say in addition to the Takata recall, which is, you know, again, still quite large and a number of those that have been unremedied. In addition to that, I would mention car seats. You know, I think I mentioned I'm a relatively new parent, and, you know, that is such an important thing to make sure is safe. And so there were about 100,000 car seats that were recalled in 2023. Please check those and make sure there's no defect associated with your car seat as well, because that's such an important thing to keep your kids safe.
Now, the other thing that's important, and this is, can you talk to this point? I know a lot of times we've done shows on recalls before, and one of the things that have come up from our audience is, yeah, I heard your show, I went to the dealer, and the dealer's like going to charge me. I mean, there's so many stories we're hearing now about how difficult it could be for some people to actually get this fixed. So they have to know their rights. You know, if you've got a recall, you got to take that back to the dealer. The dealer's got to fix it. There's no argument here.
Absolutely. All recall repairs are free at your local dealership, and the manufacturer is required to cover the cost of that repair. And absolutely, it's important for folks to understand that.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention, and maybe you can talk to this, I know we're always looking for shortcuts, right? But this is one area that I don't recommend you bypass your dealer and try to get somebody local to fix it. I mean, often we do that, right? But this is not one of those cases. You really need to go back to the dealership, because those are the people that are authorized. They know what to take out, what to replace it with, and how to do it, and not affect the warranty on the car, right?
Yeah, I think, again, it's important for folks to not be worried about the cost, because this is all free and covered by the manufacturer. And so, yes, you should go to your local dealership. They should know what they're looking for, but make sure you read that documentation from the manufacturer as well, because that will have some important information.
So one of the things, Sophie, what didn't we talk about that you'd like people to know? And again, please give out that website.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think just reminding folks, as you did a great job of, that these can be incredibly dangerous safety defects. So please check for open recalls. You can do that at NHTSA.gov/recalls. That's NHTSA.gov/recalls.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say to people, you may be thinking, oh, this is just a small thing. You know, we don't really understand the underpinnings for certain things that are being recalled. We don't understand how they affect other things. So it doesn't matter what degree the recall is. People should really just get it fixed, right?
Absolutely. And it's free to do so.
I loved it. One more time. Website, last question, personal message. What do you want to leave us with today, Sophie?
When you change your clocks, check for vehicle safety recalls at NHTSA.gov/recalls. That's NHTSA.gov/recalls. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for those of you out there, before you get out on that road, you know, do more than kick the tires. Just make sure you're checking on your vehicle. Make sure everything is working the way it should. It's very easy to do. Thank you so much, Sophie. Thank you all. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Many of us have been affected by the, let's just call it, research on brain health. So many of us have seen people come before us, and we scratch our heads and we say, in the world we live in today, why don't we have more answers? Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to answer that question, but I've got two amazing people here that are going to not just answer the question, but tell us what the heck we're going to be able to do about this. Because I don't know about you, but almost everybody I know knows somebody that could benefit from an accelerated research approach or platform on brain health. Joining me here today, CEO of the Brain Donor Project and founder of Black Men in Biotech. We're going to discuss that. We have Trish Hevel, CEO of the Brain Donor Project. And now, I heard Trish, you call him Pete.
His name is Petrosky.
Petrosky Loskin, founder of Black Men in Biotech. Both of you, thank you for joining me here today. We are really getting at the bottom of, look, in all the donor programs we have, you know, this is one of these areas that we have to have more education for people to understand that the only way we're going to really advance this and advance the research is by doing the research. What do you think, Trish, right or no?
You said it. It's the most critical tissue known to neuroscience. There's no substitute for it at all. And if there's a shortage of donated human brain tissue for these really important studies, it's going to slow research. So we are out there, and thank you for preaching as well, telling people that we need brains. We need all kinds of brains. We need brains from all kinds of people, because if the science isn't, you know, the science will be incomplete if it doesn't represent all of us.
Yeah. And let's talk about representing all of us, because this is like, I'm like a broken record on this. You know, those of us that come from, multiracial diverse families, right? My folks are South American. We also scratch our heads about certain things like this. So this is one of these things where the playing field is not even level in any way. I want to just have each of you talk about that. But Petrosky, I want you to go first. I mean, are we still talking about an unlevel or uneven playing field, especially in this arena?
Yes, of course. Absolutely we are. And let's be honest. I mean, my favorite quote of the du jour is, if we're not at the table, we're on the menu. And what does that mean? That if you want the science to reflect us, then we have to be included in. We need a seat at the table to determine whether or not that science, whether or not that is going to apply to us. And so for so many of Black and brown people, African-American, my family, my mom and my grandfather who died of Alzheimer's, it's systemic, and it's multi-generational trauma that these communities, my communities, had to deal with. So you come to them with brain donation, they're looking at you like, what? But then when you say, well, wait a minute, you know, we need to level the playing field. This, you know, Alzheimer's alone impacts our community more than any other community. You know, I think Tish is, I'm right that Black people are twice as likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's than any other group. That's a problem. And 50% of all cases in the Black community go undiagnosed. So that's a double whammy. So it's a problem, and we want to address it through Brain Donor, through the braindonorproject.org site, which is the first.
You're so right. Tish Havel joining me here too. Now, look, I can't tell you how many years ago I've been doing this. This is my 20th anniversary. So I go way back, including really being a strong advocate for Lyme disease. And one of the most interesting things I found was one of our amazing doctors who was able to hold on to his license got these 11 brains from Harvard, right, to do research on. And had he not gotten them, we wouldn't have discovered that out of 11 brains, my math, you ready? 9 out of the 11 brains didn't really have Alzheimer's. They had Lyme disease. And so these are one of these things that we can't even get to even have a conversation about. Here's the crisis. The degree by which we're seeing human beings suffer in their lives with anything to go on with the brain is so rapidly fast. Can we keep up? What are we going to have to do here?
Can we keep up? It's tragic. You're right. And the problem is that the answers are just not coming fast enough. So you're about that. The only way we're going to get there is by having supplies of brain tissue available for scientists that are representative of all of us. And since we support the brain banks of the NIH, you know, they're disease agnostic. They'll take all kinds of disorders and controls. It's important for people with healthy brains to also donate, because that healthy tissue is need for comparison's sake in every single study. But the every single study part is so critical, because as Petrosky said, if the science doesn't represent all of us, it is not complete at all. And so you know, it's no secret that there have been all kinds of inequities in health, right? But we don't know if the differences in some brains are caused by environmental factors. You know, housing discrimination has led to certain communities having to live near industrial areas. What effect does that have on the brain? And how healthy, you know, how are we going to be able to come up with therapies that are effective and safe for people unless we take all that into consideration? So, yeah, we need to open things way up, and we need people to really respond to this call because it's the only way we're going to have a healthier future. One of the things you mentioned, I have to piggyback on, Doctor, the families get a copy of the neuropath report. So the autopsy of the brain, you know, is the examination, and many neurodegenerative diseases, especially like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, that's the only definitive diagnosis they're going to get is study that's done once they die. And since we're getting closer to understanding the genetic underpinnings of so many things, that's critical information.
Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out. And, you know, Petroska, I want to ask you, because let me tell you, like, people don't really recognize this. They think, what do you mean? I mean, why is brain research so, well, it is different because actually the person cannot be alive while you're studying them on this part of the body. That's what makes this so critical and pivotal. It's not like other things. It's not like if something happens to your arm and they can take a biopsy and they can do it. It's not like that. This is so different. But, Petroska, I want to ask you, this is an educational program for people in the Black and Brown community. There's got to be some kind of outreach to have some conversations to have people feel safe. I don't know. What do you think?
I completely agree with you there, and that's one of the reasons why I'm involved. And because first of all, you demystify, destigmatize this whole conversation because we're all living with this. We all want answers, right? And what's that line from A Few Good Men? I want the truth, you know.
Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Well, a Black community is ready to handle the truth because it's a scourge that's really destroying families. It's a long goodbye. And on top of that, I have no idea how in some part, like I grew up in South Georgia, a lot of my relatives and my family members have no idea. They think dementia is just they call it Alzheimer's disease. They don't even call it Alzheimer's. They call it And they think it's a natural part of aging. And that's not the case. So the awareness part is so important. It's sororities, it's fraternities, it's barbershops, okay? When I go to my barbershop later today, you bet your bottom dollar we're going to be talking about this issue. And so the awareness piece is where we start, and that's why I'm so committed to helping Tish get the word out, because we do need
Now, wait a minute. Where can people go? Because, you know, we got to give it – we're living in a digital world now. You can't turn around. You know, somebody asked me a question. What do you think is the most present we are in any given part of our day? I said, easy, when we hear the text notification on our phone. So, I mean, don't worry about be here now or the esoteric nature of being present. I mean, come on. All we need to do is watch ourselves. But how do we find out more about this? Where do people go? How can they spread the word? Where is the access, Tish, for that?
It's at braindonorproject.org. Thank you for the that's the website we developed to help raise awareness of the critical need and simplify the process to become a donor. It's not part of organ donation. You got to make separate arrangements.
So
that site will help you get started. There's a brief online form that someone can fill out for themselves or on behalf of someone else, and then we connect them with the brain bank. The most sense and sort of hand things off from there. But that's where it all starts.
Can I ask a very ridiculous question? So you're going to be like, this is such a stupid question. Okay. I'm an organ donor. It's not on the organ donor. I don't understand. I mean, you got to help me with this. I mean, honestly, until I did this show, I didn't know it wasn't on my list.
You know what?
I don't understand. Can you two explain that?
Yeah, not a stupid question at all. That's the number one question we get. It makes sense, right? The brain's an organ.
It does.
It could be part of organ donation. It's never going to be because they're never going to transplant them. And so in the meantime, we have to do it this way, which is a little more complicated and cumbersome, but you do have to transport arrangements. And if you haven't made them in advance, it's tricky. You know, as you know, this is America. We have paperwork. And until all that gets done, the process is slowed, and we can't have it slowed. You know, the brain has to be back at the brain bank, stored properly, well within 24 hours of death. So you got to hustle. And if the paperwork's in place, that's doable. Mm-hmm. It's dicey.
Yeah. I mean, and I just wanted to thank you both. I mean, it really is paradoxical to me. You know, here is an area we need more research than we could even imagine. First of all, we don't even know the full functioning of the brain. Right. So last question from each of you. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave everybody with? And thank you for getting the word out.
Yeah, I'm happy to start. For me, my personal message, I just want to help my mom. I just like to know what is going on. She's 78 years old, and she's been struggling in the last – we've been struggling as a family. And I feel like if we had more answers, if we had more research and providers and specialists were armed with more information and more tools to help me, help her – wow, I'd be in a much better place. So I'm doing this for my mother and for all the moms and out there who are family members out there who are trying to figure it out every day.
That's it. Yeah, go to braindonorproject.org. Please consider this. Start the process. Yeah. And thank you so much for considering it.
Yeah, and I want to thank you both for taking a message out there, because this is one of these areas that when we see the sudden struggle and the suffering of the individual and the family, it's actually, there aren't words for it. Thank you both for joining us here today. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Day to save a life. Recovery Mobile Clinic provides treatment options for drug and alcohol addiction that are proven to decrease relapse rates while increasing treatment availability. Along with options found in a typical office or clinic, the Recovery Mobile Clinic also focuses on a narcotic-free addiction program. They are 501c3 nonprofit. Save a life today and donate to their patient recovery fund. Visit recoverymobileclinic.com.
Struggling with body image, aging, or grief? Hi, I'm Dr. T, and here to support you through life's challenging experiences. I specialize in offering valuable insights into the unique struggles and triumphs that accompany these sensitive topics. My expertise and compassionate approach ensure that you will feel supported and understood. Learn how you can receive guidance tailored to your specific needs and concerns. Visit me, Dr. T, at ccwithdrt.com.
Life engineering, processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to build a life of alignment. Joining Dr. Pat is your host, Gabriella Embon, bringing you bi-weekly wisdom nuggets, your step-by-step guidance to build a life of no regrets. Stay tuned as they uncover powerful processes for you to realize your true potential. Are you ready for some magic wisdom? Life engineering starts now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. We've got a great episode for you today. Get ready for it. The shoemaker does not walk barefoot. Life Engineering with Gabriella. This is an amazing show. I just want to say up front, we're going to talk about a lot. If you want to find out more about Gabriella, if you want to find out more about Coaching Academy, go to coachingacademy.net. Gabriella, this is such a fascinating topic. The shoemaker does not walk barefoot. Wow, right?
I'm so excited for this topic because, you know, in the last 23 episodes, we have talked about life engineering steps and how to apply them to create a life of no regrets. But today is about my story. It's what a better statement to the benefit of using this model is to showcase how I follow these exact steps, the life engineering roadmap, to launch my new project. And I'm going to share that story because when I look back, I said, oh my God, this is exactly what I did So I can't wait to put it to the test and share how I did that. Yeah.
So let's start with something you've talked about before, but never in this context. Vision.
That's right. And okay, so I just want to say that I had a vision. It's been a while that I had this vision. And thanks to this roadmap, this actually saved me from dropping this vision and saying, okay, it's a wrong vision at all. And when you have this, it's like a parachute. Because I had a vision, and let me share what that was. The vision was to share with couples how to do marriage. This vision started to percolate within me more than a year ago. I would say a year and a half ago, okay? It mostly came from feeling very self-actualized in my own marriage, but also from a lot of frustration seeing couples who actually love each other but are making mistakes that causes them their relationship. So that's when everything started. Started having this desire to share what I know on the topic. So when the desire was there, right, okay, let's move. That's the first step. Let's move to the second step of the Life Engineering Roadmap. Let's design the how, right? Let's create a design. So my first instinct was to go for what I know. Let's create a course. I do that even when I'm sleeping, right? I'm an addicted course creator. So it's my default. It's how I share information. But here's what happened. The more I was thinking about it and thinking how I will create this course, my soul wasn't excited. I could feel that there was no response from within. It was all here, not here. So I started realizing maybe that's not the how. Then I thought, okay, let's write a book. When somebody told me at a certain point you're going to write a book, okay, I thought, okay, this is it. But again, I consulted with someone on how to get started, but there was a piece missing. And the piece that was missing was, hell yes, it's my gut, it's my dancing from joy. I can feel that. I know I can feel that. So I had something to refer to when I'm really excited. So that wasn't the how either. So I thought to myself, okay, I don't want to do a course, neither write a book. I probably have the wrong vision. Right? I have gone wrong with this because I couldn't feel the desire to move forward with it. I didn't know how to. But at the same time, it was like a ticking bomb inside me. You have to do this. You have to do this. Right? So my mind was, leave me alone. Give me some peace. I'm frustrated. I don't want to do this. And then my soul was ticking like a ticking bomb. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. And so clearly the desire was, the vision was aligned, but the how was totally unknown on how to go about it. So when I feel lost, I turn to prayer. And I decided to ask, to receive the how. I said, if I'm meant to be doing this, show me how, in a way that will ignite my soul, because otherwise I cannot act. And then one day I was listening to a podcast, and the host, on a completely different topic, but the host, it wasn't about couples, the host interviewed her husband. And when I listened to their conversation, the dynamics among themselves, I was like, oh, this is it. I felt that inner voice screaming, this is it. This is what I want. This is how I want to share messages. I want to do a podcast with Ellie, with my husband. What a joy. I was so joyful. It was the same joy I could recognize, the same joy that I felt when I knew I was going to start teaching coaching, because it was also when I listened to a podcast and I just knew it. So that was my sign. That was the sign I was waiting for. I could barely hold my excitement, right? The universe had shown me the how. But there was was one more step needed. I needed to bring my husband on board.
Yeah.
And that's when I tell people that I'm going to do this, the first question they ask me, is he on board? Does he agree? Is he okay with that? Did you force him? So I shared my vision with him, and of course in the beginning he was like, I'm not doing that, right? So I said, okay, well, you know, he needs time. He needs time to come in terms with the vision. But if it's meant to be, it will. So we waited, and months passed, and we waited until we felt that, okay, let's do it. Very cautiously, let's do it. So now we were super excited because now we had the vision, we had the how, the design. We were ready to move to the third step, and that was the pilot, right? So
you're using your own coaching academy principles on your husband, in other words.
Right. That's right.
Just wanted to check that out.
That's right. That's what I said. It saved me from dropping my vision. So it was around more or less our 25th anniversary in September that the idea started to feel really, it's real and we're ready. And there was an aching to make this happen. So we were ready to do a pilot. We wrote the script. We designed 3 episodes. We decided we're not going to do it online. We're going to look for a recording studio. We got ready to record, and we found a beautiful... Actually, he did that. That was beautiful because it was his doing. He found a beautiful studio, everything aligned, and we recorded 3 episodes. And you think, okay, now we are on a recorded 3 beautiful episodes. And, sorry, we were ready to record the episodes. Then life events happened. It took us, we were completely misaligned. But eventually, we found the mind space to do it. We recorded the 3 episodes. And then we were driving back home. And we were looking at each other, and something was off.
Wow.
None of us felt good about the results. In the beginning, it was awkward to even say, maybe it's just me, until, you know, I just opened up and I said, you know, I'm not feeling it. I can say I'm really excited about what we did. There were no fireworks. So now we're back to step 2, the design. I thought it, I knew the how. I was sure this is the how, but it wasn't. I was like, thank God we did a pilot, because otherwise we wouldn't have these clarity than we have right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've done shows about talking about the pilot, and I even shared with you that I stopped somebody from launching their course before they did a pilot. I mean, what a nightmare that would have been, right? And, you know, as a result, I'm not going to take time up today, but I'll tell you the punchline. As a result, we're redesigning the structure to be more interactive, more inquiry. But look, you're following your own principles, so I can't wait to hear what happened next.
So then we had to go back to step number 2, which was the design. Instead of continuing from the pilot to execution, production, action, it took us back to step number 2, which was the design. Because the reality of how we felt brought us back there. We had no choice. So by this point, we are at the end of the year already. And I'm asking myself, is the vision still alive? You know, it's the holidays, you're not working. Is it still relevant? Maybe it was just, you know, a thing and it's not there anymore. But the more I kept asking, the more I kept receiving, no, the vision is still very much so.
Yeah.
You just have blocks and fears. Which was not shocking to me, because when we finished recording, I felt those fears. So I decided, I would say around January, to do a session on myself. I use Theta Healing. I work on my fears. I clear some beliefs. So back to the design, because part of the design is the mindset, right?
Yeah.
I completely ignored the mindset part. I thought I was ready. The excitement overpowered that my mindset, but then it was clear I needed to work on it. So I did all that, and as I was finishing the session, a message, a very strong message came in, and it was, the problem is that you are doing this podcast, the two of you. you need to have, and then the name of the interviewer came because it's someone we know and who shares similar stories, you need to have Shari interview the two of you. You need a third person. When I heard that, I was blown away.
Yeah.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
I was like, what was I thinking? Of course I do. It's how I do best when I converse with people, is when I get asked the questions. I mean, look at us talking, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You thought
exactly.
I was gonna, I said, I don't want to stop doing this together, right? It's what I enjoy doing the most.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, a light bulb, right? But you see, we started with design. We went to the pilot. The pilot, it wasn't aligned. We went back to the design. I worked on my mindset, and I needed to clear those blocks in order for the next level of clarity to be received. So it's really in the doing. So now I went to my husband. I said, okay, we need Shari. Let's talk with Shari and see if she's on board to play with us. And when things are meant to be, they're meant to be. When I spoke with Shari about it, she was like, of course. Yeah. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
And we know each other for many, many years. So it took us to redesign the pilot and to course correct. And now we were smarter. We said, okay, so what do you see as the vision? I said, no. We're not doing three episodes. We're not doing long-term vision. Let's just do one.
Exactly.
Let's just do one episode and talk. And we see how we feel. So we even made the pilot shorter, so we have a shorter feedback loop, right? And finally, after the first episode, my husband and I, Ellie and I, look at ourselves, and we were so pleased.
Yeah.
We felt, yes, this is what we were looking for.
Yes. Yeah.
Now
it takes courage. This takes courage. Let's take a moment and pause here for a minute, because this, what you just shared, is so important. And I want to say how important it is, because what you're sharing, yes, it does apply to what you're doing, but no, it applies to many things. How many entrepreneurs do you know stop? They stop. They go through everything you just described, but yet in their gut, they know it's right, but they stop. They don't have what you just shared to go back to revisit it. You know, all of us go through this. We're going through it. I'm going through it personally here because I know the vision. I know, and I've known this vision for 20 years, and I know exactly it's still calling. But the how, right, thanks to you and following your model, I get to go back and look at what am I afraid of? What's my mindset? And, you know, maybe the things around us, we look and we look for these trigger points that show up. I'm not feeling it. Well, why is this happening? Maybe it's not meant to be. And then we create a story, but you didn't do that. You went back to your inner workings.
That's right. I would say, I love what you said about fears. We'll talk more about that. And I would say was inner workings as well as outer, in the sense of reaching for guidance, divine guidance.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Which is always available to all of us for free, right?
Yeah.
In different forms, by the way, in different forms. For some people, it's receiving messages. For others, it's through a podcast or a dream or a movie you see. I mean, the messages, you are always receptive of messages if you believe you are. Then the how will be shown to you, the message will be shown to you. So it was that dance between inside me and asking for divine guidance. And also the understanding that, you know, the human side of me was like, I don't need this headache. Especially in the last, you know,
get it.
In the last few months, I've gone through enough. I don't need this. But then we realized that a purposeful life is what we need. We meaning, going back to Dr. Frankl, right? Meaning is about serving in a way you're here to serve. And when you have the privilege to understand what is that you're meant to be doing next, how can I ignore that? I mean, I know we have free will. We can ignore it. I'm not saying we can. But I wouldn't allow my human self to ignore that. So I could hear my human self saying, give me a break, let's just chill. And then I could hear myself saying, but you know, this is what you're meant to be doing. And how do I know this is what I'm meant to be doing? Okay, how do I know? Because every time I would see a couple doing certain things or clients sharing their stories with their partner, I will feel an ache inside me that is completely altruist. I am already working with a client. I gain nothing by feeling that ache, right? Yeah. It's already my client, but it bothered me so much. And that ache was the sign that I'm meant to be doing this.
I love that you're sharing this because, you see, people, for all of you listening to this, there's so much in here. And please, you go back to the other episodes we've done. But, you see, sometimes when we hear that ache, it can be interpreted as a sadness, a grieving for something you don't have. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. And, you know, it's a reminder. And I mean, you're going to talk about this. But the reminder for me, right, a 20-year dream, a reminder for me is what you talked about before. And it's the reminder to make sure that my fear doesn't kill my dream.
That's right. So well said, Dr. Pat. And that, this is what I take from this model. This model allows me to not let my human self and my fear kill my dream.
Yeah.
Because there are many lessons that when I look back, I see them there. The first one is, hadn't we start somewhere, right, we wouldn't be where we are today. We needed to do the first pilot. We needed that piece of information to course correct. It can course correct in the starting point. Clarity is found along the path, as you heard me so many times mention. The second lesson for us was that not only the vision has to be aligned, the journey and the path have to align too, right? It has to be aligned as well. I don't want to sacrifice to get to the end result. I want to enjoy the way. And, you know, the other thing that we talk about in a couple of episodes is how the brain works. We created an intro video. I learned that from our work together. We created an intro video that was also aligned. And then we had the episode, right? But even though we had all prepared, we first shared the intro video. Now, you might say, okay, this is a great marketing move. You create anticipation, perfect strategy. I can see that. It does definitely create anticipation, but that was not the reason why we first only put the intro video. In fact, we only released the intro video a few days, about 5-6 days before the actual episode, because I was so afraid that I told Ellie, I said, I need to go baby steps, right? I need to put my toes first before I go swimming, get my toes. So let's just release the intro. And then my brain will go, it's just the intro. I'm not putting the entire episode there. You know, I'm not eating the entire cake, just one bite. As we talked about, I'm not doing a whole project. I'm just doing one episode. So we first put the intro, and a few days later, we put the full episode. And that also, I could feel my fear along the way, right? But going step by step a little bit, and then that allowed my brain to, that allowed me to appease my fear and my brain and work with the brain, right? I had a migraine, actually. I never had migraines. I had a migraine before we posted this is only a sign how meaningful. People would tell you, this is a sign, this is not a line. No, this was a sign how important this was for me.
Yeah, yeah. I love that we're talking about this because, you know, look, there's a quote from a book, and I read this book when I was in my 20s. Now it's a big, big-time movie, Dune, okay? But if you read the work of Frank Herbert and you read The Dune, if you actually read the book, yes, movies, top Hollywood people, of course you're going to go see Dune 2. Everybody will. But that's not why this book became so masterful. And there is a quote I never forgot. And, you know, people hand you books and you think, why the bleep are you handing me? There's like 7 or 8 volumes of this. But here's what I never forgot. You ready? I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. That's what you did.
But you remembered all of that.
Is that okay?
It's amazing.
How could you not remember that?
Especially not only knowing that you remember it, that you live by it.
I'm in my 20s, and I'm scared of my own shadow. But look what you did. See, what we're talking about today, I know we call these podcasts, but these are lessons in life. And I would want you to finish the rest of this because I want to know how this turned out. Are you going to keep it like a cliffhanger? But everybody got it. Here's two things I love. I love that you, because you just taught me a lesson that I'm going to implement. I love that you didn't have to have a vision for 20 episodes. See, this is what you just, what you just did for me is I discovered what my bottleneck was in what I'm launching. So thank you for that. But you got
That's
everybody.
Right.
You just helped me. I don't have to have the entire elephant.
No. I say it without the elephant. I said a little bit different. We don't need to have it all figured out before we start.
Exactly.
In fact, it's a waste of time because it was correct, right? So we didn't do that. And that's something that I normally don't do. So we didn't wait for the perfect timing either. It was far from being the perfect timing. Because for the soul, it's always the perfect timing, right? We didn't let our limiting beliefs kill our dream, as you said, or the fear kill our dream, or the how kill the what. Even when the how wasn't clear, we waited for it to get clear. And we didn't wait to have more time and energy. Because, you know, we have three kids and life, like everybody else. We created the time by adding the recordings into our agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't give up on our dream despite life events, unexpected events that were out of our control. So, in other words, we didn't compromise on two things, I believe. One is on the feeling of alignment, to feel that it feels right, not because it's perfect. We're not talking about perfection. It's just that it feels right inside. And also, not only we didn't compromise on alignment, we understood that alignment doesn't mean lack of fear, right?
No, it doesn't.
So I have fear, I'm probably not aligned. No, one thing has nothing to, alignment comes from your soul, fear is from your mind. So that ability to separate help us go through the steps and not give up. Because look, after all, when we say a life of no regrets, we want to differentiate between self-actualization and purpose or service. Self-actualization is when you accomplish something, it's for you. I actualize myself as a coach, but then I turn it into purpose by teaching, coaching. I actualize myself in my marriage. I feel very fulfilled. But now we want to turn it into purpose by sharing what we learn. So for me, a life of no regrets is a life in which you take your self-actualization and you amplify the positive effect of it by not letting it stop with you, but using it to serve others. And that is how I see a life of no regrets.
Yeah. And that's what you did. I mean, you look the fear right in the eye. It's like it's like Herbert says, I will face my fear. Then you allowed it to pass over you. You didn't allow yourself to become it. You see, that's what the key is. See, if we become our fear, you would have stopped everything. You would have stopped it. And so now what are you doing? It has gone past. You've turned your inner eye to see its path. That's the only way you can reflect and tell the story, Gabriella. You wouldn't be able to do it. And now where the fear has gone, there is nothing and only you remain.
I would say where fear is gone, it's just purpose. It's just service.
It's just
And
you.
After all, it's what gives our lives joy, because joy comes from your soul. I am happy when I fulfill, when I get a new jacket, just for this. I'm happy when I book my vacation. But I'm joyful when I touch my soul.
Yeah.
And I see the impact of what I know I am here to do. How do I know that? Not because of my ego maniac saying this is what you're here, because the signs were shown.
Yeah. How can we listen to the podcast now?
So we're going to release the second episode to this week. It's about money and how we do money differently than what most lawyers recommend for couples. For now, it's on YouTube. There's a Facebook page called Gabby and Ellie. And after the third episode, we'll have it on Spotify. So for those who want to listen, just watch. Better listen or watch, because, you know, I was like, I can't believe I looked like this. So, you know, yeah, fear and judgment.
I'm excited.
So Gabby and Ellie is going to be the name of the podcast and YouTube.
I'm very excited about it. And thank you for reminding us of all of us of not compromising in this area. Thank you for also reminding us of the process and how brilliant it is. Thank you so much for everything, Gabriella.
Thank you, Doctor, excited
for you.
Thank you, Dr. Pat, for playing with me. It's been a year. February was an anniversary year, because I don't think I would be able to do this if I hadn't done this and do this with you, which has taught me so much.
It's an honor. I can't wait to listen to the podcast. Gabriella, again, how do they find out about you?
Coachingacademy.net and Gabby and Ellie on YouTube or Facebook page.
All right. Thank you all so much here. But what you just heard Gabriella explain to you is exactly the way she lives her life. And by the way, go back and re-listen to this and ask yourself, where am I? Am I ready to stomp on my dream? If you are, remember what Gabriella just said. Go back. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to Life Engineering, processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to create a life of alignment on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join host Gabriella Embon and Dr. Pat every first and third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific for bi-weekly wisdom nuggets on how to create your perfect synergy between your mind, body, and spirit in order to realize your true potential. For more information...